So, yes, it's Mother's Day today, and that's going to drive our sermon topic somewhat for the morning. So I know that I promised you a sermon on living as a single person, following the one I did for you last time out on marriage. That sermon on singlehood is still coming. I am going to get you that email that I promised to send out to you prior to it, once I know exactly when it's coming, but it's not today, so... We're going to head back into our make-believe land of God's Kingdom Incorporated this morning for a discussion on parenthood. I'm going to widen the intended audience for this sermon just a bit and talk to parents in general, not just mothers, although everything we'll say here today certainly will be applicable to moms. Well, because there's always a chance that someone will be listening here who hasn't been to one of these earlier sermons in the series we're in right now, I need to briefly once again explain God's Kingdom Incorporated to you. We've been imagining together what it would look like if you had the option, once you became a Christ follower, to go live in a land that was populated only by other Christ followers. I've created this pretend business, and certainly it would be a non-profit, called God's Kingdom Incorporated, a business that goes around and buys up large areas of land within each state in America, and probably within other countries too, but we're just focusing on America. And since they own that land, they will then require each person who comes to live there to testify that they are a believer in Jesus, and that they're willing to live by a code of conduct that the leaders of that business have come up with, a code of conduct that they will have worked really hard to base upon the Bible and its teachings. So we've been at this for a while, and we've already looked at a lot of the lifestyle topics that would be on that code of conduct. I think it's going to be fun when we get to the end of this sermon series, which we aren't too far away from now, and we can just sit and think about the full picture of what this imaginary land looks like. But for today, anyway, we venture into another single topic that would land somewhere on that code, and it is the topic of how to parent. What would parenting look like within a land where people all sought earnestly to live by biblical values, our made-up God's Kingdom Incorporated? At the outset here, I want to say once again, as is true almost every Sunday here at Calvary, I will be putting before you standards today that the Bible calls us to. We try to put out there the way that the Bible tells us that life is supposed to go, while also here every week always seeking to acknowledge that every human being misses the mark regularly in our lives and thus is in need of a Savior. Thankfully, there is a Savior, one who grants mercy to us when we come humbly before Him and confess our bad decisions. And He then loves us and forgives us and encourages us to go live by His standards now. Not to live by them in our pasts. Can't go back. But He encourages us to live by them now and tomorrow and the tomorrow after that. This is what grace does, by the way. It gives us another opportunity to go and do it right now. So yeah, we talk about standards at Calvary, and we don't ever do that to try to shame anyone for their pasts. But we do it to encourage each other to draw close to Jesus, to receive His love and His mercy, and then to move forward in life, seeking to live in obedience to Him. So yeah, standards today, we're talking about parenthood. Well, perhaps the first thing we should do to answer the question of what parenting would look like in God's Kingdom Incorporated is to reflect back a bit on a couple of recent sermons that told us that if everyone living in God's Kingdom Incorporated truly was genuinely seeking to live by God's principles, then we shouldn't see many babies born out of wedlock there. And we also should see a much higher percentage of stable, loving marriages there than what we see in our real-life American society. And these things would be true, of course, because the Bible teaches that sex is for within marriage only, and it teaches that that married couples are not only to not divorce, but that they are to prevent ever getting close to a divorce by both being committed to showing tremendous love, selfless love, to each other, by both being committed to doing whatever it takes to make their marriage great. And you know, I added in there in that sermon, by both being committed to going to marriage counseling if they get stuck on an issue. So those two truths then about life in GKI. Can I start calling it GKI now? It's just easier than God's Kingdom Incorporated. Those two truths about life in GKI then will have a really significant impact already on our question for today on what parenthood would look like in that land, because it would mean that most children there would be getting raised in a family where they had both a mom and a dad in a committed, stable, and loving marriage. And you could almost stop the sermon right there. How huge would that be for the children living in that society? But we can't stop there, because, you know, it would be morally wrong of me to preach only a 5-minute sermon. I must continue. And of course, there's a lot more to say about what parenting ought to look like. So let's start in on the material for today's sermon. Well, here's something that I believe we would see from parents living in GKI. I believe we would see a high degree of attention and priority given from both parents to their kids. I believe we would see a high degree of attention and priority given from both parents to their children. I kind of hesitate to quote Proverbs 31 because it's probably been quoted in about 80% of the Mother's Day sermons that have ever happened throughout history, but here I go anyway. In the picture of a wife of noble character, Proverbs 31, we see a woman there who gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children arise and call her blessed. So, well, whatever Proverbs 31 is, it is not a picture of a woman who is neglecting her children. She is attentive and making them a high priority. She provides food for them, warm clothing. She instructs them wisely. Her children wouldn't call her blessed, as it says there, if she was an inattentive mom who was uninvolved. There are many verses in Proverbs on how important it is to train your children well. And in fact, a great deal of the book is set in the voice of a father teaching the way of wisdom to his son. So the fathers come into play here as well. Both parents are to be involved in the training of their children. And in order to train your children well, you have to be an involved parent. And hey, we're called by the Bible to love even our enemies, so it stands to reason that we are also to love very well our children. We know how desperately children desire and need their parents' attention. So loving our kids well will look like being highly involved in their lives. They need us to be there for them, to talk to them, to spend time with them, to have fun with them, to be at most of their events. The Bible calls parents to give a high degree of attention and priority to their kids. I'd put it like this, and here comes my life priority list again for you. In the top spot on the life priority list comes God. That's a consistent biblical message. God and the values of his kingdom, they are to come first in our lives. Second on the list, I have put spouse. So your spouse comes higher in priority than your children, but second to God. Children come next. In the fourth spot, I have other family. And then in the fifth spot, this time I just lumped them together, job and friends, because Again, never quite sure what order to put those two things in. Okay, your relationships with people really are more important than your job. However, if you're continually neglecting your job because you're hanging out with your friends, that doesn't work either. So I'm just putting both together in the same line. You can figure it out. And then, comes hobbies, whatever else you want to put on there. Well, one thing I'm sure of on this list is the order of the top three items there. God, spouse, children. This means your children come before your job and before your friends. Again, you need your job to support your children, so you can't neglect your job. But if your job is preventing you from being an attentive and an involved parent, then you've got to fix that. Give your kids, even your adult kids, the attention that this priority list asks of you. I believe that if God's kingdom incorporated existed and we were able to observe how parenthood worked there, we would see a high degree of attention and priority given from both parents to their kids. Here's another thing I think we would observe. We would observe the parents there showing great love to their kids, but also disciplining them. We called this the Super Nanny principle in a sermon last October. If you've ever seen the show Super Nanny, you will remember that she comes into homes that have out of control kids in them, and she teaches the parents to love their kids well and to balance that love with fair, consistent, enforced discipline. And in every instance, at least in the shows that they show to us, which are a lot, that principle works wonders. And the kids thrive when their parents are loving them well and disciplining them well. Well, the Bible follows the Super Nanny principle. Who knew? And you know that when I say that the reality is that Super Nanny is actually following the biblical message, intentionally or not, in her principle. This is how the Bible teaches us to parent. We already commented that the Bible teaches us to love our children well and that it tells us to train our children. Here are a couple of those Proverbs I mentioned that talk to us about training our kids. Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but discipline will drive it far away. And then one from the New Testament, Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't exasperate your children. In other words, don't be heavy-handed. Balance your discipline with love. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If you have ever trained for something, maybe for taking a test or for a sport or whatever, you know it involves discipline. Undertaking some perhaps unpleasant tasks in order to get the good results that you're after. We're to train our kids to discipline them and to teach them how to live rightly. So yeah, the Bible teaches us to love our children and to balance that love with wise discipline. And isn't that exactly how God treats each one of us? God doesn't say to us, oh, I love you so much, just go do whatever you want. Uh-uh. He sets out standards for us and he is willing to discipline us when we need it. But he also loves us with a great love. Super Nanny principle. God's principle. Well, I think we need to add some subpoints to this major point because it's going to be important in good parenting to understand how to discipline. I want to offer some ideas for you now on how we can discipline our children well. We start out with just saying, yes, of course, discipline does need to involve something that hurts a little bit, right? It needs to be something that the child won't like, whether that child is a toddler or a teenager. Otherwise, it won't be effective. Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So yeah, you need to find something that hurts a little bit. Now, I know many people are not okay with spanking. That's a choice that each parent needs to make. Personally, I'm okay with spanking young children as long as it's not done in anger or done in a way that might injure, obviously. And as long as that's balanced out with all the other things I'm about to say here. But yeah, in the right circumstance, I'm okay with it. But when children get older and are able to reason with you more, I think we need to move away from physical punishments. But you still then have to figure out what's going to be upsetting enough to actually have an effect. I can tell you what works in our house right now, at least with my eldest, especially with my eldest, I guess, is saying no to TV for a whole day. There is weeping and wailing. And I know that's going to go away at some point, but right now it's a very handy tool. An effective way of getting some attention. What else is there to say about wise discipline? Well, I believe you shouldn't discipline your child if the rule that was broken hadn't been communicated to them ahead of time. Now, I suppose it's possible for a child to do something that's so obviously wrong that it might warrant discipline, even if you'd never talked about that behavior being wrong with them before. But I think in general, if the standard had not been talked about prior and there's a chance your kid didn't, you know, really know that it was a wrong behavior, then I would definitely use that moment as a teaching opportunity rather than laying down the hammer. On a similar note, you know, something that Anna and I read early on when we became parents that was helpful for us was the idea that a distinction should be made between willful disobedience on the part of your child versus making a bad choice or a mistake. It's kind of similar to the previous point, but I think it's a bit different as well. So willful disobedience should be disciplined, while making a mistake or a bad choice maybe should result in a teaching moment instead. It's going to depend on the situation, of course, but that's a distinction that should be thought through before you discipline. Next, don't discipline in anger. Go cool down first. After you have a cool head, talk together with your spouse about what an appropriate act of discipline might be for that behavior. If there is no spouse in the picture, is there someone that you would trust in a conversation like that that you could talk to? After doing all that, then go to your child and explain the discipline that you've decided on. And really, that's a point in itself. Not only should you be calm when enacting discipline, but you should always explain what the discipline will be and your reasons for enacting it so that the child, to the best of their ability, depending on age, understands why it's happening. Always explain. And while you're talking with them there, the next point, I think you should also express your love for them. Do it up front there. Do it again when the discipline period is over. And then finally, when the time of discipline is over, be sure to let them know that they're forgiven. And especially do that if they've been good about expressing that they're sorry for the wrong act they've committed. God forgives us our sins. We need to do it for our children. So move on and get back to having fun together. Of course, everything we're saying here applies to children under 18. Things change when our kids become adults. Now, if you have an adult child of yours still under your roof, I think it's okay to set some expectations of their behavior, though obviously much more freedom should be granted to them than earlier in their lives. If they're not living under your roof, and if they are not living in correct ways, then I believe we need to proceed by following the biblical principle that we apply to other fellow adults in our lives, which is speak the truth in love to them. If there's an ongoing issue, it's, first of all, it's probably not wise to speak the truth to them every time you see them. That's going to wear thin in a hurry. But you are still mom and or dad, and they still need to hear truth from you. Make sure you're saying those things in love, in loving ways. So we're talking in this section about balancing, showing love to our kids, but also disciplining them when our kids become adults. The discipline side of that equation changes, but the love side does not. That carries forward. Well, then, for those kids in our lives who are under 18, let's just look at the points we went through there just to get them in our heads for how to discipline well. Discipline does need to involve something that hurts a little bit. Otherwise, it won't be effective, so you have to think that through. You shouldn't discipline your child if the rule that was broken hadn't been communicated to them ahead of time. Similarly, willful disobedience should be disciplined, but making a mistake or bad choice perhaps should result in a teaching moment instead. You should not discipline in anger. Always explain to your child what the discipline will be and your reasons for enacting it. Express your love for your child in that conversation, and again, when the discipline period is over. And finally, when that time of discipline is over, let them know that you forgive them, move on, and go back to having fun. If we observed parenting in the land of God's Kingdom Incorporated, I think we would see the parents there showing great love to their kids, but also disciplining them. What's next? You won't be surprised by this next one. God's Kingdom Incorporated parents, I think, would teach their children about Jesus and get them into the habit of reading their Bibles. I will admit to you that Anna and I got started a little late in establishing a regular routine for this in our home. Now, we have been teaching our kids about Jesus from the beginning. I used to regularly read the kids' picture Bible to them. But that's all kind of been mostly spontaneous rather than scheduled. Our kids are older now, and I'm so happy that, thanks to Anna's wisdom and initiation, we've recently begun doing a weekly family devotional with them, a devotional time. Anna found some material on the internet. The stuff we're doing right now is actually from the same church that produced our devotionals for the 21 Days of Prayer last January. They had some stuff for kids, too, so we're taking them through a lesson from that each week. We've also begun working individual Bible reading into that time to make sure that's starting to be a regular thing for them. I think we're still kind of working out how we're going to encourage them to do that on a more daily basis, but another thing Anna felt convicted to do as part of that devotional time is to ask at the end of it, is there anything you'd want to talk to your family about? Just kind of open it up. Anything at school or anything about God, and I think that's been a good thing. I like that. Anyway, this point here is a huge one, isn't it? How important it is to teach our kids about Jesus and get them reading their Bibles habitually. And you know, as we teach and try to live out Christianity with our kids, I want to make a suggestion here. This one's just for me, not from the Bible. While some lifestyle issues, like most of the stuff we're talking about in this sermon series, are pretty black and white biblically, there will always be in life matters that are more gray. And that kind of stuff is going to come up all the time at home with our kids. Jokes that are, you know, borderline inappropriate. TV shows that are borderline. Activities that some Christ followers would see might see as inappropriate, but that some Christ followers would see as okay. So here's just my suggestion on this. With those in-between things, I would suggest not always taking the most conservative line on them. And here's why. I think that if our kids see us shooting down anything and everything that could even remotely be interpreted as inappropriate, things that they might see as just being fun or not being of a big deal, I think that greatly increases the chances that they're going to bolt from the Christian faith sometime and rebel. If we say no to everything, our kids might decide at some point to start listening to people who say yes instead. And I can pretty much guarantee they're not going to be the people you want your kids to be listening to and following. So I would definitely come down strict on things like alcohol use and sexual behavior and, of course, any behavior that's disrespectful of God. But I think it's okay, you know, for example, to allow some humor that might be a little borderline. I think we can relax about some of these things, can't we? Always going to be judgment calls on this stuff. Where to draw the line? There's obvious danger in drawing the line too loose. But I think there's also danger in drawing too conservative of a line. So, just throwing that opinion out to you there, parents. All right, back into parenting ideas that actually come from the Bible. We just said that God's Kingdom Incorporated parents would teach their children about Jesus and get them in the habit of reading their Bibles. On a related note, I trust that these GKI parents would also teach their kids the value of being in church almost every Sunday. They would teach their kids the value of being in church almost every Sunday. And there's no way to teach this value if you are not committed to coming to church almost every Sunday and bringing them with you. Being in church almost every Sunday is an act of worship. It's an act that shows to God that you are seeking to put Him first in your life, on your life priority list. And it's also the best thing for us to be in church nearly every Sunday, because we grow in our walk with Jesus best that way. Being in weekly Bible teaching, being in weekly worship, growing relationships with our other Christ followers, which creates the possibility for the biblical idea of iron sharpening iron to happen. It's best for us to be in church. An important value for us to adopt personally and then to teach to our children. I believe that that commitment should also extend to Wednesday night kid programs, provided that they are good Bible teaching programs like the ones we're striving for here at Calvary. You know, I want my girls involved in sports and music and theater at school. I say, try some of all of that. But Anna and I will be drawing the line for them on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. God comes before sports. By the way, remember that while your kids are under 18, parents, you run the show, not the kids. I don't believe those are decisions to be left to them. They should be expected to go to church with you nearly every Sunday and be in church Wednesday night programs nearly every Wednesday. Set the expectation and follow through. Well, two last shorter aspects of biblical parenting to mention, things that I think we would see happening in God's Kingdom Incorporated if it were real. Here's the first. I believe that God's Kingdom Incorporated parents would teach their children the value of hard work. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And there are plenty of other verses like that out there on the biblical principle of working hard. So teach your children the value of hard work and doing their best in whatever task is before them, whether that be schoolwork or sports or a play they're in. They ought to do their best at whatever they decide to do. And please remember that what we are expecting of them is to try their best, not achieve actual success academically or athletically. Success or not, the important question is, are they trying their best? And if they are, reward that. Last one. I believe that God's Kingdom Incorporated parents would teach their children that how they treat the people in their lives, classmates, teachers, neighbors, family members, is more important than having success in school or on the athletic fields, and so forth. I believe these parents would talk to their kids about how Jesus taught us to view people and to love people. They would give examples to their kids about how to do that at school and in their other relationships. They would jump on any moment where they observe their kid actually doing that and encourage it. What's most important in parenting? Well, Jesus, let me ask you that. What are the most important commandments? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The most important commandments, according to Jesus, are the most important values to teach our children. Number one, love God. Number two, love people. All right, well, before I wrap this up, allow me, if you would, just to speak to a few specific situations, and you will all be in at least one, if not more, of these situations today. What if you are the parent of adult children who are not following Jesus in their lives? What a painfully difficult situation that is. For this one, I'm going to read a section from a sermon I preached to a camera back at the beginning of the pandemic. Maybe some of you watched. I wrote this back then. I think it's helpful in that situation to think about how God treats us. God has given us independence, just as our adult children now have their independence from us. And we all, to some extent, have had times where we have used the independence God has given to us to go in ways that He would not have wanted, to go in wrong directions. What does God do in those scenarios? He remains a steady presence for us, patiently waiting for us to return to Him. At times, God may send a warning to us about the error of our ways, but God most certainly is not an overbearing parent. He allows us freedom, even when we're choosing wrong, but He's consistent in standing for truth. And God is always ready with true counsel for us if we would seek it. He's always ready with forgiving arms if we would seek His forgiveness. God always believes in who we were intended to be and who we could be again if we would return to right paths. I think those are the ways that we are to act towards our adult children when they go in ways we wouldn't have wanted. We too are to be steady and patient with them. At times, it may be appropriate to communicate a warning to them about their choices, but we're not to be overbearing. We must allow them their freedom, but we continue to stand for the truth, ready to help if they ask for it, ready to forgive if they ask for forgiveness. We should always believe in who they were made by God to be, and we should never give up believing in our children. Next situation. What if you're not a parent here, but you're listening to all of this, and you're actually one of those kids who are under 18? How would the kids in God's kingdom incorporated act in regards to their parents? Let's just ask that briefly. Here's Ephesians 6 for you. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." The Bible teaches us to obey our parents and to honor them. And theoretically, that's how the children in God's kingdom incorporated learn to act over time. It's also what you are called by God to do. So love your parents, show respect to them, obey them. Their job is not an easy one. Got that, Alex? Oh, he's gone in the other room. Oh, no, there he is. I thought I saw you. Sorry, I shouldn't single you out. Same for all of us, man. This would be a great day to do some of this, of course, it being Mother's Day. Say something nice to your mom today, or do something nice for her. Recognize all the hard work that she puts in. And fathers, we ought to be doing that for our wives too today, right? Reward them now and then for all their good mothering efforts. Okay, what about children here today who are adults? Think about that for a second. That would be all of us adults. So are your parents still alive? If they are, how can you honor them today and out into the future? You know, even if they weren't all that good to you, it's likely that you still owe them a debt of gratitude, if for no other reason than the fact that they changed all your dirty diapers and they kept you fed. God asks us to honor and show love to our parents. That doesn't stop when we become adults. And then last one, what if you are an adult, but you don't have any children? Of course, that could change for you down the road, but for now, are there kids in your life? Are there kids in your life that you could become like, you know, the special uncle or aunt to? And we have to be careful with this, okay? It would be really easy to, we don't want to be the creepy guy or gal, right? Okay? It'd be very easy to overstep here and to make somebody feel uncomfortable. But if you do it right anyway, I think maybe there's a kid or two out there who you could show love to and concern for, someone you could be a friend to and encourage in their pursuit of Jesus. I just wonder if you can think of anyone. I believe there are a lot of kids out there who could use something like that. You won't be their parent, but perhaps some of these things we've talked about here today are things you could reinforce in their lives. And if you're not much of a kid person, what about helping out a parent? Give them a break or bring them a meal, things to think about. All right, let's go into summary mode. Our question today on this Mother's Day was, what would parenting look like within a land where people all sought earnestly to live by biblical values, our imaginary God's Kingdom Incorporated? And we said that we should see in that land both parents in each family giving a high degree of attention and priority to their children. We said that we should also observe the parents living there showing great love to their kids while also disciplining them wisely. We said that God's Kingdom Incorporated parents would teach their children about Jesus and get them in the habit of reading their Bibles. We said that GKI parents would also teach their kids the value of being in church almost every Sunday, and they'd have them in the Wednesday night programs faithfully as well. We said that God's Kingdom Incorporated parents would teach their children the value of hard work, expecting them to try their best. And we said that these parents would teach their children that how they treat the people in their lives is more important than having success in school or on the athletic fields. The most important values to teach our children are love God, love people. And if all of that was happening, God's Kingdom Incorporated should, one would think, be churning out a lot of healthy, stable, happy, and hopefully God-following young people. So God's Kingdom Incorporated is imaginary, but God's kingdom on this earth is not. Those who have bowed the knee to Jesus are members of that real kingdom. And the values we've talked about today are the values we are asked to live by and parent by. Parenting is one of the most important responsibilities a person can be given in this life. We need to do it well. If we failed in the past to parent in these ways, today is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. So how will you parent today and tomorrow and the tomorrow after that? Don't underestimate what the Lord can do through people who are choosing to follow his teaching, even if it's a new commitment in their lives.